This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
The concept of Allah's uniqueness in terms of His names and attributes. And this is important because, as we said, we can find texts that have been introduced into the earlier revelations attributed to the earlier prophets, whether it's in the form of the Old Testament of the Bible or the Torah, or the New Testament of the Bible, which is followed mainly by the Christians, we can find references in both these texts, many in which Allah has been given the attributes of His creation, or the creation has been given His attributes. For example, in the Bible, we can find in Hebrews 7, verses 1 to 3, where it states, referring to the king of Salem, "For this Melchizedek," which is the name given to him, "king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything." Then it goes on to describe Melchizedek, the king of Salem. "He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. Then he is also king of Salem, that is king of peace. He is without father or mother, or genealogy, and he has neither beginning of days nor end of life. But resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever." So this kind of description involves giving a human being, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the attributes of Allah, which is having no beginning nor end, that he lives on forever. Such descriptions makes him equivalent to God. So this violates our principle of the second element of Tawheed. With that, dear viewers, we're going to take a break here, and we will continue to look at the second element of Tawheed, known as Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, that is maintaining the unique unity of Allah's names and attributes. We will see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. Prior to the break, we were looking at the second element or aspect of Tawheed, maintaining Allah's unique unity with regards to His names and His attributes. And we were giving some examples of how scriptures, which are supposed to be monotheistic scriptures, have violated this unique unity of Allah. And the example we were giving was from a text found in Hebrews 7, verses 1 to 3, where it states, referring to the king of Salem, "For this Melchizedek," which is the name given to him, "king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything." Then it goes on to describe Melchizedek, the king of Salem. "He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. Then he is also King of Salem, that is King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, and he has neither beginning of days nor end of life. But resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. An individual by the name of Melchizedek, the king of Salem, is described as having neither beginning of days nor end of life. He's without beginning or end. That is among the attributes of Allah. هو الأول والآخر. He is the one before whom there was none. He had no beginning. And the one after whom there is none, he had no end. We can find, on the other side, an example where Allah is given the attributes of his creation. In Exodus of the Old Testament, a part of the Torah, 32 verse 14, it states there, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people." And the Lord repented. The act of repentance, this is a human action. Human beings repent for their sin. When they repent, they seek forgiveness from God. So how then is God going to repent? Who is he repenting to? See, this is making God like a human being. So such texts, which carry these kinds of meanings, we say violate the principle of the uniqueness of Allah's names and attributes, and in fact end up making him like his creation. He becomes indistinguishable from his creation. We can also find texts wherein Allah's attributes are given to saints and human attributes are given to Allah. We can find cases where the imams are given attributes of absolute infallibility, for example, that they could do no wrong. They could not even think wrong. They're absolutely infallible, incapable of error. And the power of Allah, that is, his power over creation, all of the elements of creation, we can find that in a book called Al-Hukuma Al-Islamiyya. This book, Beirut version, 1979, on page 52, it states there, "Certainly the imam has a dignified station, a lofty rank, a creational caliphate, and a sovereignty and mastery over all atoms of creation." A sovereignty and mastery over all atoms of creation. This is only with Allah. Human beings do not have control over the atoms of creation. So such descriptions, whether from people to describe saints as being able to do a variety of wondrous things which imply control over creation, blowing on a seed and it turning into a diamond, you know, they have these kind of stories that they ascribe to their saints, and so on and so forth. Such practices and such beliefs violate this unique principle. So this principle was prescribed by the scholars in order to ensure that people do not confuse Allah with his creation. That is the main purpose, to make sure that the distinction is maintained. And this is the way of the Quran and the way of the Sunnah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continually in his expressions, in his teachings, would make this distinction. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran, from the beginning to the end, reminds people of these distinctions. And if we look around the world at the various religions which exist, We see this common factor found in all of them, with the exception of Islam, that they have confused Allah's creation with Allah. So whether we are talking about the examples of idolatry, where stone idols or iron idols are worshipped, in the belief that they're actually worshipping God, they have made God like his creation in doing so. And even if they say that God is within the idol, it's still putting God in his creation. Or they attribute to human beings, whether they call them avatars, you know, God-men, who were capable, supposedly, of utilizing or using or doing things which are actually belonging to God. They're capable of reading minds, changing creation, all kinds of things attributed to them. All of this is only a source of misguidance and misunderstanding for people when they don't know who Allah is. Because they've been raised accepting the idea of Allah being in his creation and worshipping Allah through his creation. So when they're told that a human being is Allah walking amongst them, it is easy to fathom, it is easy to accept. Whereas when you have a clear understanding, when a person has a clear understanding of the uniqueness of Allah in his names and attributes, then he or she cannot be fooled by those who would play tricks on the masses of people and get them to worship Allah in his creation. Actually worshiping his creation while thinking that they're worshiping Allah. So Christians who worship Jesus, thinking that Jesus is Allah, they're in fact worshiping his creation. The Hindu who worships an idol, thinking that that idol is Allah, has also been tricked into thinking that the creation can be Allah. So this principle of Tawheed removes those confusions from Muslims. And we are not supposed to be caught up in any of this type of misunderstanding. However, where sects break off from the main body of Muslims or create their own schools of thought, whether it is Qadiani or whatever, other Habashi, a variety of other different groups have sprung up where they have now taken the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah and reinterpreted them. Maybe by denying the Sunnah, they can play with the Quran even more, or they work with both Quran and Sunnah and reinterpret them in such ways that they can now get people to worship Allah in other than the way they were prescribed to worship him. And we'll be looking in our coming episode on this area, which is the most critical area of Tawheed. Who do we worship? With that, I'd like to thank you for being with us in this episode of The Best of Tawheed. And we'll see you in the coming episode, wherein we'll be looking at the third element or third aspect of the unique oneness of Allah. How do we maintain it? That is what we'll be looking at. Thanking you again for being with us, and we hope to see you in our coming episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islamic Online University presents you with the golden opportunity to study the various branches of Islamic studies from the comforts of your home. Now, you get to study at your own time schedule and at a pace that suits you best. IOU is the brainchild of Dr. Bilal Phillips, who envisioned an institution that would offer undergraduate and postgraduate courses online and completely tuition-free.
Choose from the widest range of programs that you can ever imagine. Bachelor's in Islamic Studies. Intensive Arabic Program. Global Quran Memorization Program. Bridge to Master's in Islamic Studies. Bachelor's, Certificate, and Diploma in Psychology, Education, Islamic Finance, Business Administration, and Information Technology. And the Crown. Master's in Islamic Studies.
Our syllabus is based on the bachelor's degree program of Madina University, Om Dhurman Islamic University, Al-Azhar University, and other reputable Islamic institutions. Your journey to acquire Islamic knowledge is just a click away. Islamic Online University. Changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.